All right, it's July 13th, lucky 13. And it's a beautiful summer day in Colorado today. We're supposed to get up to about 90, and vegetables are growing.
Did you start sure?
The recording's going, yes. Thank you for reminding me. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. We'll start in verse 1 here in a minute. And it says here, "And he, Jesus Christ, entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And that's what, you know, sometimes different people need to hear different things to be healed. And this guy was, he was all, had a problem, you know, because we've all committed sins. We're all human. And this guy, he thought because of his sins he wasn't worthy. Well, you know, we're not worthy. But Jesus Christ makes us worthy. So on our own, we're not worthy, but Jesus Christ makes us worthy, and we can have a relationship with God, and we can have healing. And verse 3, "Behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, how do you know their thoughts? You know, God will tell you what you need to know. Knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins be forgiven, or say arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath the power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, Arise and take up your bed and go into your house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power to men. And when Jesus had passed forth thence," I like to go thence. You know, kind of love old English, thence. It's, what's even better is I like when they go thither. Thither is a lot nicer place than thence, but thence is pretty cool. Okay, where was I? What verse was I in? Oh, yeah, verse... Verse 9, chapter 9. "And Jesus passed forth from thence, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of the custom." And Matthew's the guy that wrote the book we're reading here now. He's a tax collector. Custom is taxes. "And he said unto him," and people hated the tax collectors. Because what the tax collectors, how they made a living is you owed $100 in taxes. They'd say, well, you owe $120. He'd keep the $20 for himself to live on, and then he'd give the $100 to the crooked Roman government. And so people hated. You know, here he is. He's calling a tax collector to be an apostle. You never know who God's going to call. And he said, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, Jesus sat at meat in the house with many publicans. Publicans and sinners. Is that like today we call them Republicans and Democrats? I don't know. I always thought that was publicans. "And he sat down to eat with his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" Verse 12, "But Jesus heard it and said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." You know, and the Pharisees, if he sat down to eat with the scribes and the Pharisees, they wouldn't believe him. They were what we call a full bucket. They weren't meek at all. And actually in the text, instead of physician, I believe it's the, holy man. It's, what's the verb, what's that, who's that guy, Aramaic scholar that, gosh, I had his Bible. Can't think of the guy's name. It was Dr. Werewolves, one of Doctor's friends. Anyway, he's got a... Anyway, he translates it Holy Man. Can't think of his name. I'll think of it after fellowship.
Polite.
Yeah, Yep. And he did a translation. I got his Bible down in the basement. I got like so many translations, and then you can find more online. I must have like 15 or 20 translations. Can't read all of those. And verse 13. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. He's talking to the Pharisees. You guys need to learn what I just told you. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. See, the people that think they're already... These guys thought they were already good with God, and they really weren't. There's somewhere, there's a verse here that says, and you know, in the end times... Jesus said, people are going to come to me and, Master, I know you, and I know you. I've served my whole life for you. And Jesus will say to them, I know you not. That's these scribes and Pharisees. Now, some of them were meek. Some of them did accept the truth, but a lot of them, they weren't. Verse 14, then came him to the disciples of John, saying, why do the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples don't fast? So this is John the Baptist had disciples too, and so did Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? In other words, Jesus Christ's disciples didn't fast. They were there with the Messiah. They had a very short time that Jesus was on the earth. Some people say his ministry was 6 months. Some people say it was 3 or 4 years. Either way, that they're both a very short time. And verse 16, this is the stuff I wanted to get to here. No man putteth a piece of cloth onto an old garment.
New piece of cloth
onto an old garment, but... For that which is put to fill it up taketh the garment. In other words, you ever patched? I got a pair of short pants that I like to wear in the summer, and I wore it so many times that the pockets are starting to wear out, and it's starting, you know, and you start patching it, and the patch can tear away the other fabric because the new fabric is stronger than the old weak fabric. Verse 17, neither do men put new wine in old bottles, else the bottles break. Now, this is not this kind of bottle. This is a plastic bottle, and it's not like a glass bottle like we might think of. They had these goat skins, and they would put wine in the goat skins, and the wine could either be grape juice or it could be fermented grape juice, which has an alcohol content. They were both called wine in the Bible. And if you take an old dried up goat skin that had wine in it, was empty, and you put new in, it won't stay, it won't hold it. So that's why it says, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine in new bottles, and both are preserved. And what he's really talking about, there's two, like, analogies here. One is patching a new piece of cloth on an old garment. One is putting new wine in old bottles, and they're both a fail. And why? And what he's using, he's teaching them, is the old way of the Pharisees and the Sadducees is dead. Their approach, you know, they would argue, you know, if a chicken laid an egg on the Sabbath, is it lawful to eat that egg or not? Because the chicken had to work to lay that egg. They would argue about things like that, but they would totally miss the heart of why God had a law and what God's heart was for his people. And they would argue about little things that didn't matter. It's like... It's like sometimes people, I'm not going to go there. So he's making the analogy that the old way, their old ministry was dead. And it's interesting, I was talking with somebody, a friend of mine in California, I've been in communication with for, I think I first met him at a Rock of Ages back in 74. And we've sort of, we've been in communication a lot the last 10, 15 years or so. And he was saying he really likes the new way, he called it Way 4.0, because I guess he thought Way 1.0 was Dr. Wirbel, and then Way 2.0 was Martindale, and then Way 3.0 was,
Rosenberg.
Yeah, Rosalie.
Reichenbach.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that I don't even know who the people are running it now. I don't even I have so little interest in it that I don't even look up who the current leadership is. I think it's Mulary and Curly, but I'm not really sure. but anyway, I started telling him. I said, you know, you can't put new wine in old bottles. You know, it's like some of us have gone through divorces in our life. And sometimes you're in a marriage and it's things are going okay, but then things go wrong, and then it's over, and then you really, years later, you really can't go, usually you can't go back to that. Now, sometimes you can. Sometimes maybe an old ministry can, they can get meek and they can be profitable, but I was telling them you really can't put new wine in old bottles. It's not going to work. And how do they come back? How does that ministry come back from when Martindale was basically a sex addict? And it's, you know, he had was having sex with hundreds and hundreds of women, videotaping it, doing two and three at a time. And it just, how do you come back from that? And then the next person, they had 20 years of it run by a lesbian. I mean, God does not ordain lesbians and homosexuals to be running churches. So I don't think you can come back with that from that. But anyway, so that's, you know, something that was happening in my life. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And start in verse 18. This is a section of scripture we all have heard, but I think it's relevant right now. And, you know, and it's like a lot of churches out there. There's a lot of churches, and a lot of churches are, they, you know, the Protestant churches have supposedly split away from the Church of Rome and the Roman Catholics. But if you look at their doctrine, you know, they don't have a pope, and they don't call themselves Roman Catholic, but on a lot of their main points, theological, doctrinal points, they agree with the Church of Rome. They're still the same thing. And you know what? Your relationship with God, you don't have to be with a big mega church. You don't have to be with a, you know, you just, you need a few people to fellowship with, and you need you and God, a relationship with God. And Jesus Christ already prepared the way for us. But let's look here what it says in verse 18. All things are of God, who hath reconciled. See, we were separated. God brought us back together to himself by Jesus Christ, and he hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So we not only God's brought us back, he's given us something to do. And we go out, we help other people get reconciled back to God. You know, you don't have to be an ordained minister to do that. You just say, hey, you know, God loves you. To wit, verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So he's given us a job to do, and he's given us the ability to do it, and the means to do it. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Jesus Christ. Christ is not on this earth right now. He's seated at the right hand of God. And God has given us the right to be and the ability and the designation of being an ambassador for Christ. As though God did beseech you, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he made Jesus Christ, him, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's like the guy we just read in the record that Jesus said that your sins be forgiven you. You know, we can't let our sins stop us from walking with God and stop us from being healed. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Whoops, flipped back too far.
Luke 4?
4:18. Yeah, I'm going to read a few verses here. Let's see. Yeah, he went, verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, his hometown. You know, they remembered him as a little kid. And he went in the Sabbath and he stood up to read, verse 17, it was delivered him the book of Isaiah. And he opened the book and he found the place where it was written. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the meek, the poor, the humble, and hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. See, a lot of us have had our hearts broken. The world's out there. The world loves nothing more than to take your heart out, throw it on the floor, and stomp on it. That's what the world wants to do. But Jesus Christ said, I'm here to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive. There's a lot of people that are captive to various things, captive to crooked religion, captive to crooked governments. But there's deliverance and recovering sight to the blind. Now that's literal and figurative. So blind people can be healed, but also people that are spiritually blind can get their sight back. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book.
I forgot to set at liberty.
Oh, set at liberty them that are bruised. Thank you. Yeah, that's good too. God's a God of liberty. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and he sat down. And everybody was astonished. Their eyes were fascinated. And he said, he began to say unto them, verse 21, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And they said, wow, is this the same guy that grew up in our town? And yet they turned against him. You see in the later, along about verse, you know, they took him up on the, verse 29, the brow of the city, and they were going to throw him off the hill. They said, no, they rejected him. Verse 30, but he passing through the midst of them, they were there, they wanted to kill him. And he just walked right out through the middle of them. They couldn't touch him. That's the kind of power. We have the same power. We're sons of God too. Then he went to another city. What did it say in verse 32? They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Luke 11. Chapter 11, verse 52. Oops, I'm in 10. Get over to 11, 52. There we go. Woe unto ye lawyers. Now, this is not talking about secular lawyers, like we say, although a lot of people hate lawyers. What's that old joke? There was one of these stupid died and gone to heaven jokes, and the guy... this lawyer dies and he goes to heaven, and then this minister dies and he goes to heaven. And so the angels are showing the minister where he's going to live, and he's got this little two-bedroom house, you know, nice little, you know, modest home, and nothing fancy, but it's a nice place. And then he's going down the street, and a little ways down the street there's this big mansion with all these, you know, gardens and stuff out front. And he said, well, who lives there? And he said, well, that's a lawyer. He said, well, I was a minister. I served God's people. I should get the nice house. He said, well, we got thousands of ministers up here, but he's like the only lawyer we got. anyway, bad joke. So woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. This is the guys that were like the scribes and the Pharisees type of lawyers. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that are entering in you hinder.
Something happened to your volume.
Oh, can you still hear me?
It's real low.
Can you hear us now?
A
little bit.
Changing that won't change it.
There.
That's coming back.
Okay, well, it could be intermittent Wi-Fi failure, probably.
Okay.
So let me read that verse again. Woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the keys of knowledge. In other words, keys to the kingdom, keys to the word of God. And ye entered not in yourselves, and those that were entering in you hinder. And, you know, I think about there's a lot of ministries out there. They got the word of God. They got the stuff, and they're not helping people the way they should be. You know, and those are the ministries that are, you can't put new wine in old bottles. You can't go, some of these people, you can't go teach them what the real truth of the word is. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 11. Wherefore remember that at that time you being at that, let me read what's written here. Wherefore remember that ye being in that time Gentiles,
in the time past,
Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. Verse 12, in that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the covenants of promise, and having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes afar off and made near by the blood of Christ, who is our peace, and hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, what's the middle wall of partition? Okay, in the Old Testament, they had the temple. And in the inner part of the temple, you had the Holy of Holies, where God existed. They'd have the Ark of the Covenant in there. And the priest, the high priest, could go in there only certain times. On certain times, he could go in where the presence of God was. And then you had out here, you had this area where the Israelites could come, and they would be there. And then farther out there was a wall, and there was where the court of the Gentiles was. So we were the Gentiles. We couldn't get where the Israelites were. The Israelites couldn't get where the priest was, and the priest could only go in to see where God was on rare occasions. That was the Old Testament setup. Having abolished in his flesh, talking about Jesus Christ, the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make of himself two, one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God, talking about Jew and Gentile, in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were near. They were near, but they weren't access. But this is great. Verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We have full access to God, better than the priest, the high priest did in the Old Testament, because we have God in us. The high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies, and he was only allowed in there certain times. We have the God that was in that temple is in our hearts 24/7, the rest of our lives. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And Romans 8:1. Oops. Acts, Romans, get here sooner or later, flipping too many pages. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Remember the guy that Jesus healed in that first record we wrote? You know, your sins be forgiven you. He was condemning himself for his sins. Well, we have no condemnation. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we have no condemnation. We're in Christ Jesus. God is in us, and we are walking with God. John 10:10. Here's a verse we've heard before. The thief. Well, who's the thief?
Well, yes,
the devil. The devil cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's all he does. That's what he does. It's like the Terminator. Remember that? That's what he does. That's all he does. Until it's up. But you know what? There's a day coming when the devil's going to be thrown in the lake of fire. Now, the lake of fire is not eternal torment. The lake of fire means he'll be burned up and consumed. It's like in the old days, you know, people lived out in the country and they would burn their trash. You burn it to get rid of it. Once you've burned, it's gone. It ceases to exist. That's what's going to happen to the devil. But then he says, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. See, those are two choices, and I choose life. I don't want to be what the devil has coming. Let's go back to Luke. I think I read this already. Yeah, I already read that. Yep. Acts 10, verse 38. Whoops, too far.
Yeah.
Acts 10. It's in here somewhere. All these pages sticking together. And Acts 10, verse 38, I'm on the wrong page, there we go. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So sickness is always oppression from the devil. God never sends you the sickness, for it was God with him. And you know what? We've been anointed with Holy Spirit. Remember we just read that thing about God has called us ambassadors, and we represent Christ. We can do the same exact thing Jesus Christ did. Luke chapter 4, verse 32. Hopefully I didn't read this one already. I don't think I went that far when I was in Luke 4. That's the one about they were astonished at his doctrine. Yep, I already read that one. Okay, Matthew chapter 7. Got two more verses here in Matthew. See, what I did is I went through my notes. I was supposed to come back to some of those verses, and when I was in Luke 4 the first time, I just kept reading and read some of my future verses. So, oh well. Don't always follow my own plans, I guess. Chapter 7, verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. So it's interesting. I was talking about how you can't put new wine in old bottles. And how do you know if something is an old bottle and you can't really work with that anymore? Well, they're known by their fruit. It's like I don't go in my backyard and I have a rose bush, actually it's in my front yard. I don't go out to the rose bush and try and find grapes on it. The grapes are on the grapevine. And it says here, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs from thistles? So every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And again, it repeats it in verse 20, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Yeah, here we go. Here's that verse I was going to, is that what that verse I was talking about? Verse 21 and 22, 23. Yeah. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I, you know, I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I did many wonderful works. And I will profess unto them, I knew you not. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So there's people that say they're on God's side that really aren't. And they may actually, they say they're that, but they're actually doing the opposite. Verse 9, chapter 9, we'll go to verse 36. But when he saw Jesus Christ, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. I remember I had two good mentors, spiritual mentors in my life. And the first one was Dr. Werwolf, and he taught me a lot of things that I needed to know. He wasn't a perfect man, but he was a good Bible teacher, and he taught me a lot of things that I needed to know. And it helped me a lot. And then there was another man that was a mentor for me for a while, and they're both dead now. The second man was John Schroer. And I remember I'd left the way had become unbearable, and it had become oppressive and evil. And I went to a picnic that John Schroer was doing, this picnic, and I remember I met the man, and I looking at him, and I said, well, he's kind of overweight. And I looked over here, he cut himself shaving in the morning, he had this little cut, and then he had mustard on his shirt, and he was eating a hot dog, and he got mustard on himself. And I said, you know, he's imperfect, but you know what I saw? The love of God was beaming in his heart. And he later wrote a booklet that's on my website, also the audio teachings on my website too, called Compassion. And one of the aspects of his ministry is he really was pushing that we needed to have compassion on people. And here Jesus Christ had compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. And he said unto them, his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into the harvest. So, you know. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And Father, do send forth laborers into the harvest. So there's people out there that need help. And we all need help, Father. But Father, raise up people. First of all, Father, turn people's hearts back to the one true God. And raise up people that will help people and have compassion on them. And raise up people that will teach your word and will minister to people and have compassion on them. And I thank you for that in the name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior. Amen.